A nimble-witted producer, or nimble-witted, as we say here in the States. I should just try it. Take two. You know what? Let's try that again. A nimble-witted producer living on credit in a Broadway hotel is desperately in need of a big hit. By chance and good luck, he finds a playwright with a good play and a backer with $15,000. In the course of a few short days, he must deal with an odd assortment of actors, the hotel manager, the playwright, and the angel with the money. This is the plot of Room Service, a play by Alan Boritz and John Murray, being presented by the Schenectady Civic Players May 2nd through the 4th and the 7th through the 11th. Here to tell us about it are Chris Foster, the director of Room Service, and two actors, Patrick White, who plays Gordon Miller, and our very own Amy Lane, who plays Christine Marlowe. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. So, Chris, how did you were you the one with this terrific idea?
I had done a drama in September, an Irish drama in September, and then I had done another a modern drama called Good People in the winter, and I was ready for some levity. And they approached me with this play. And I was a little concerned at first because of it being a Marx Brothers movie eventually. But I read the script, and it held up really well on its own without all that. And I thought it actually had something to, you know, say now in the fact that it talks about the 99% and their social commentary on the 1%.
So, how long has this been, like, the script in its form? Is that contemporary, or
it was written in 1937. It was still during the Depression. It is a farce. It follows along like a screwball comedy, except for I'd call it more like a wisecrack comedy.
Okay, so you put it in that time period.
I did.
Yeah, so what is it? What is it like for the actors? For you two? For Patrick and Amy? And Patrick, we'll start with you. Of what it's like to do the screwball comedy.
It's very challenging, actually. I've got a few scenes off stage, but I'm on stage for most of the time, and I'm somewhat the host of all the antics that go on. My part was played by Groucho in the movie, but there's really he doesn't have a lot of wisecracks. Groucho certainly added to the script. But I'm the driver of the show. I'm the producer and the one that has to keep things going and hosting all the ideas. But I bring in everyone else, the playwright, and come up against the hotel manager, the doctor, and all the members of society are doing what they will to thwart my plans for Broadway success.
Oh, Amy, please tell me you're a member of society.
No,
no, alas.
I'm a cohort of the nimble-witted producer over there. And so I'm actually his girlfriend in the play, and she comes on and keeps people in line and makes sure that things are going well, because they tend to get into trouble, Gordon Miller and his boys.
She's probably smarter than anybody else.
So a lot of what's going on is there's a lot of hoodwinking happening of those in society. So the hotel manager who comes along, who expects us to pay our bills and to do those things that they, need
that stuff.
Do I know? Who wants that? So we do our best to thwart them and push off that payment of the bill as best we can, and we do that through lying and scheming and having a good time at their expense.
it would seem to me, Chris, that the key to this is timing and keeping the pacing right, and which would be the big challenge, but also when it's done and you have it, the fun of it.
Absolutely. And that's something that, these are all volunteers, and everybody pretty much has a full-time job during the daytime. So it's not like they have...
I'm sorry, you can't make money in the theater? I thought... Wow.
It's not like they have the luxury. Of...
Just like 1937.
Well, add that with radio, and I'll take that right off the list.
Of spending all day long, rehearsing on it. So, it takes a little bit longer to put it together. And everybody is you know, they're there because they want to be there.
So we don't have rehearsals with everyone present.
It's a large cast.
And there are conflicts. There's 14 people in the cast.
Yeah. So getting all 14 together, I mean, I just would throw this out to anyone listening right now who is on a group or a board or a committee of any kind, you know, tried to get everyone in the same room at the same time.
Oh,
good luck.
Yeah.
So, but here you do it, and so if you don't have everybody, you can still get work done.
You still get work done, and it's true what they say. It always does pull together as it approaches, because just everybody psychologically knows that they have to do it. So it is getting better and better as it's going along, and I'm really looking forward to having an audience for it now because they're ready.
That adds something else to the timing.
It does.
We don't know where the laughs are going to come, if they're going to come.
They're going to come.
They will.
Well, that's an interesting point. Funny's funny. So you have an expectation that something will have a laugh, but until that first, second, third time, you don't really know, right? Of how it'll be sustained and how it will change the time.
Absolutely, and that's why I'm always so grateful when a designer walks through for a moment and sits down in the theater and they start laughing at something on stage, because it's like, oh yeah, that is funny and that is working. So, you know what I mean? It's like you kind of have an idea where some are, and then some are just going to happen where you'd never expect.
There's also something in the construction of the play where it doesn't necessarily read as terribly funny, but then we get into the situation of he's going to skip, but he can't walk with his luggage through the lobby of the hotel. So they put on all the clothes in his closet, and all three characters are wearing three different suits and five different shirts and all the ties and all the underwear. And once you start doing it, you can barely get through it.
So this is something that seems to have been lost on us, and I don't know who necessarily to blame for it, although I have a list of suspects. But we don't seem to embrace physical comedy like we used to, do we?
No. I mean, it's certainly not in the mainstream like it once was. I think a lot of where we're geared as a society right now is very serious, very thought-provoking, and semi-horrific at times, right, is how it feels at any rate.
Yes.
So bringing a comedy to the mix is a lot of fun. And it's challenging. It is challenging in its own way, because you don't know how things are going to play until you actually do have that audience in front of you. You hope for the best and you do what you can to lay out all the groundwork. But it's always good. Don't we all love to laugh? I mean, what was that?
Something that was fantastically appealing to me about this script is that it asserts the primacy of theater, and physical comedy comes from the theater, and you have to go to a theater to see this. It doesn't necessarily live as well on film and TV.
No.
And
it's been quite rare. I mean, you look at somebody like Lucille Ball could do it.
From the theater.
Right, yeah. From the theater.
The year this was produced, there were 140 shows done on Broadway.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had trouble this morning finding four plays for best.
They didn't come up with five musicals.
No.
Wow.
No, they didn't. No. And it was, in my opinion, a weird selection. But, times are different and tastes are different, obviously, and that makes a lot of sense. But we go back to these things, and I think it's comforting that we can go back to something of the 1930s and still have it resonate and have it be fun.
Which I take, as my primary motivation in Gordon Miller, the producer, is you just go on faith. You go to the theater because it's good for you. Go on faith. And he goes on faith. He gets a cast. He rehearses for 7 weeks. He books them in a hotel, but he doesn't have a theater. He doesn't have a backer or any money. And he just goes on faith. And it'll all work out.
And it does. And that's the beauty of it. It's, I don't know if anybody here saw Shakespeare in Love, but there's that great line, right, where it all works out. It's a mystery, right? Nobody knows how. It's just a mystery. And it's brilliant. And to see that happen and to be a part of all of that is very exciting. whether you're in a play or in the audience. I think to be a part of an audience who's enjoying itself and you have this collective laughter and this sense of energy from one another, both on stage and off, it's fantastic.
Noticeably silent in this is Chris, and I'm wondering, Chris, do you enjoy it being as much of a mystery, or would you prefer it be a little more apparent in the beginning?
Well, it is a collaboration. You can have all the ideas in the world, but until you start working with everybody else and see, you know, it's more about directing is more about shaping than it is about, you know, it's going to be this, you know, and especially as I get older, I don't, you know, panic so much as I go into directing a project, because I know that people are going to be bringing ideas and I don't have to manufacture all of them myself, and then I can relax about it and just sort of listen to what the play is giving me, and also what, you know, each individual is, you know, their ideas about their own characters. And they know their characters more than I do as it goes along. So, you know, it's easier as it goes along.
And this goes back to my original question of what brought you to this work, but does a large cast throw you off at all in the sense of, I mean, do you think about that when you're choosing a work?
You do. You do think about that. I enjoy the staging part of it, though. So that it didn't bother me that I had to move 14 people around the stage, although it depends on, you know, what kind of, you know, set you have. I more worry about things like, you know, personalities, you know, getting along and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And also the conflicts that you have with 14 people. You know,
all being able to show up or not show
exactly.
up and all of that. I will say this, it's a large cast, but it's a really good bunch of people, and we're having a really good time with one another, and that makes a big difference too.
That's fun.
Particularly when you're doing comedy.
You want to have a good time.
Yes,
it's
you
like
do.
Misery coming out on stage. Room Service, directed by Chris Foster and featuring Amy Lane and Patrick White, will be presented by Schenectady Civic Players May 2nd through the 4th and the 7th through the 11th. And your website is SchenectadyCivic.org?
It is www.civicplayers.org.
I'm completely wrong. CivicPlayers.org. CivicPlayers.org. We have all the information on our website, which is easier to remember, at least for me, WAMC.org/roundtable. WAMC.org/roundtable. Again, the 2nd through the 4th, 7th through the 11th. The play is Room Service. Chris Foster, Amy Lane, and Patrick White, thank you so much for being with us. A delight to have you here, and have a wonderful, wonderful time in the production.
Thanks,
thanks
Joe.
Joe.
Great to have you here. Thank you. The Roundtable continues on WAMC.